Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Mark chapter 1. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the text. If the gospel reading sounds familiar to you, it should. The first part, verses 9 through 11, were part of our gospel reading from the baptism of our Lord, the first Sunday of Epiphany. And the last two verses, what I just read, were the beginning verses of the gospel reading from 3 weeks ago. This time of year, we do a lot of jumping around in our scheduled readings, especially when we're in Mark, because he gives short little snippets, just tells the story in a very short, succinct manner. But we do jump around a lot these days. I mean, last week, the gospel readings from Mark chapter 9. Now we're back in chapter 1. Well, why do we do this rather than just reading it straight through? Because we've shifted gears, changed seasons. I'm wearing purple for a reason. It's Lent. We left the Mount of Transfiguration, Mark chapter 9, and are beginning our Lenten journey with Jesus heading toward Jerusalem. For centuries, the church has spent these 40 days focused on the sufferings of Christ for the sin of the world. Sin must be paid for. After our Lord revealed himself to Peter, James, and John there on the Mount of Transfiguration, he fixed his eyes on Jerusalem, on the cross and the grave. The wages of sin is death. The price for sin must be paid. Thanks be to God that he did not lay that burden upon our shoulders. The Lenten season, these weeks leading up to Easter, it's all about the cross and the grave. We began on Ash Wednesday. We are reminded that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Jesus came for one purpose. He came to defeat sin and death. This dust will rise again. This dust will be with our Lord for all eternity. That is our great hope, the resurrection. That's why Jesus went to the cross and the grave. It's the cross and the grave which brought this victory. However, the journey to that cross began even before the transfiguration of our Lord. For the cross to be the final altar, for the final sacrifice, the final lamb that would be offered to our Lord for the sin of the people, the sacrifice had to be worthy of covering all the sin of Adam and all the sin of his children. There had to be a new Adam, a perfect Adam. God had to become man. He had to endure all the weaknesses and temptations that we endure. Even as we saw during the Epiphany season, the difficulties of being a 12-year-old boy in Jerusalem, being under the authority of others, and the frustration of that age, even that he endured without sin, so that he could go to the cross and the grave for you. God enters the world as the child of Mary with one purpose. It's right that we celebrate, and wow, do we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But the child of Mary is born so that the man he becomes can die. That's the one purpose for which he came. There's no other reason to celebrate Christmas. We witness the baptism of our Lord, and we see the weight of the world, all the sin and guilt placed upon him, And God the Father celebrates. The voice from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit of God drove him out into the wilderness. Jesus is compelled, driven by the Spirit, to go out to the place where only jackals and demons dwell. He carries the weight of the world upon him to be tempted in every way, just as we are, yet be without sin. He allows himself to be physically weakened beyond anything that you and I have ever endured. He deals with Satan. I love the way that Mark tells Peter's account of the life of Christ. Because in Mark's gospel, Jesus is not the smiling Jesus we love to see in paintings or in Sunday school coloring books. Jesus is focused and driven. He has one singular goal. He came for one reason and one reason only. He came with good news. That's how Mark begins his gospel, and he carries it all the way through. But there is no good news. There is no gospel unless he is that perfect sacrifice. He must be the lamb without blemish. He must be the substitute lamb that fulfills all of God's law. There is no gospel unless he becomes sin for us, as St. Paul says. There is no gospel unless he dies, which he repeatedly tells his disciples as they journey towards Jerusalem. There is no gospel unless he rises from the dead. There is no good news for you unless you hear this good news. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is what Jesus preaches. Mark makes it clear that the gospel is not something that you can understand before you believe. That's something that's really hard for us. It's hard for the children of Adam, for the people of this world. Faith comes first. You must have the faith of a little child. Repent and believe, even though what you are called to believe surpasses all human understanding. The 40 days of Lent is a hard journey. Christ has a hard journey. People of God in this sinful world have a hard journey. In the end, there is good news. Mark's gospel repeatedly points you to the end. But it's not something that we enjoy looking at or considering or dealing with. Because in the end is the death of the Son of God. And we know why he died. It was the only way to pay for your sin and mine. We love to celebrate stuff. You know, as I said, we do Christmas in a big way. Christmas is the celebration of the upcoming death of the child of Mary. Jesus being baptized is a big celebration within the life of the church. We don't celebrate because he's washed clean of any sin, but because he takes upon himself your sin and mine so that he can carry it to the cross and the grave. And we see here in Mark's gospel, immediately he carries that burden. He's driven by the Spirit of God himself out to confront Satan. And then, after John the Baptist who had been preaching a very similar message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We hear Mark tell us that he was arrested, and we know the rest of the story. His head gets chopped off by Herod, who's the ruler in Galilee at that time. So where does Jesus immediately go? He goes to Galilee. And why? Because he's going to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We talked about this 3 weeks ago when this was our gospel reading. Jesus goes, as Mark says, right to where John was and preaches the same message. Repent. Believe in the gospel. Jesus came into the world to die. He's not going to shrink back. He's not going to play it safe. He's in control of the situation. This has been the plan from the beginning, since Genesis chapter 3, when God first promised to Adam that he would send a Savior. And there will come a day that Jesus will stand trial before Herod. And on that day, Jesus will go to the cross and the grave. But it will be according to his time and the day of his choosing. When Jesus goes to the cross is determined by Jesus. Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me. I give it up of my own accord." He is a willing lamb of sacrifice. It was for this purpose that he came. He came to die. Everything that he does will lead him to the cross and the grave for you. This is the gospel. This is the good news. The guilt of your sin has been paid for. The blood of the cross covers your sin. There is no gospel without the cross and the grave. What Jesus preached is what his church still preaches. The time is fulfilled. All is complete. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. There is good news in the cross and the grave. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.